Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 13 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled Lord, I Am Willing, Part 5. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
I've been doing this teaching on the clashes of the three kingdoms, which is the kingdom of man, the kingdom of darkness, and the kingdom of God, that there's a clash. That means that things aren't going to get along. There's a clash in that. And I have in it truth versus agenda. And then I have from clash to collision. So the title is The Clash of the Three Kingdoms, but today I feel to announce that there's a collision right ahead. And as I mentioned in the other room this morning, it's impossible to have a collision without impact. To have a collision without impact is to have no collision. But to have a true collision, there's going to be an impact. So then as we look a little deeper into that, we can say, well, how do we know if we had a collision? It's if you had impact or not. Did you impact the collision, or did the collision impact you? And there's going to be a collision. And I'd love to stand up here and say that everything's going to live happily ever after, and it will live happily ever after, but the days that are ahead or that in front of us, we're to realize and understand we're on a collision course with this world, and there's going to be an impact. And my prayer is that this church can be ready to leave its imprint of impact in the collision. Amen. So that's what we're looking at. We can't avoid. I'm not the person to ask if we're going to have a collision or not. We're on a collision course, and we're already colliding. It's already happening. And so, but the question is, and we got to answer this question, are we going to have impact in this collision, or is it just going to run us over? And but there is a collision happening. Now, with that, the collision and the impact is truth versus agenda. Now, with truth, and I started that last week, truth versus agenda. I explained and expanded on how the truth used to have honor. Truth used to be the final authority. The truth was just the truth. And not only was it the final authority, if you were guilty of something, you avoided it with everything within you because the truth would expose. But we have entered an age in which the truth is not honored. So therefore, the impact of just speaking the truth is lacking in this collision. And I began to share with you how you say something is as important as what you're saying. You remember that little teaching? So it's and how we say it, let me expand on that just a little bit. How we say it reflects who you are. I can say this, to be a Christian means that you live Christ-like. Now, we like to live under this idea that we've got the grace of God, and so therefore, since we're not Christ-like, the grace of God covers us in our un-Christ-likeness. And I understand that, and that is true. But the hope is that the grace, I've said it like this, if you're walking a tightrope across a canyon and you fall, there's a net underneath you that catches you. It's called the grace of God. But with walking the tightrope, still the goal is to get to the other side. So you get up out of the net, you climb back up on the tightrope, and you walk again, right? So it's the same walk. It's the same goal. It's just that now we have a net under us. But it's still to get out of the net, get up, and it's still the same task is at hand. And so as Christians and in the day that we're living, it is of importance that we get further down this tightrope of the Christian life than we've ever been before. We need to get up. We need to walk again. But we're still the same goal, and it's still the same task. Now, the truth, the age that we're in, a human body expressing what they believe is true are the soldiers of this battle that we are in on this earth. So you take a soldier with an agenda or a soldier with the truth should supersede the agenda. It should. And it will. If the soldier that's carrying it, if he's speaking it as a Christian, that's one who follows Christ in Christ's likeness. Now, that's a simple words, but it's a deep term. And most of us, me included, when we're out in the world, we don't want to be too uncomfortable, so we'll look like the world is so and as like saying, I hope no one discovers I'm a Christian, because it will make me uncomfortable. So my question is, if you can't discover me as being one, am I one? You can say, well, Alan, you're saved. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about walking in Christ's likeness, which is the Christian life that is needed to carry this truth so that it has impact when it in the collision. Can anybody hear me? So I'm trying to, let me say this to you. The most fulfillment, fun, joy, whatever you want to call it, I have in life is standing right here telling you the truth. Outside of that, I pretty much work all the time. So I enjoy every moment that I'm here because I know this has eternal value. And not only that, I know I'm telling you the truth. I know I'm telling you the truth. So as God's trying, even though I tell you the truth, I wonder, is there enough evidence to convict me of being a Christian in the world? If you have to ask somebody, and they're, well, yeah, I think, well, I don't know. Yeah, I think that means, you know, this incognito Christianity is not real. It's just not real. It's powerless. It's powerless. How we live our life is a reflection on what you really believe. It's what you really believe. And what you really believe should supersede your own worldliness within, our own selfishness, our own self-preservation. And in Christianity, there is no self-preservation. We've given our life to another. In other words, we're going to die to it. Now, let me move on. Now, let's look at this. The battle is more about us finding the will of God. Now, I've said this every teaching here for a little bit, but I'm hoping with each teaching it, you can take it a little deeper. The battle is more about us finding the will of God than it is about finding our future. For our future is where? It's in the will of God. Now, that's nothing to be too sad about. God's will for you is much grander and greater than your will for you. You might not get there like you're thinking, just like you that are sitting here this morning. You don't know how you ended up here. 5 years ago, you didn't see yourself here, but yet you're here. Let's move on. We should not be surprised when we experience tension and internal conflict. In other words, as a Christian, and as this collision's coming, we are going to experience tension and internal conflict. But we're not to be surprised about it. Doesn't mean we're failing. That doesn't mean that. We should see the conflict and tension as a testimony of carrying the will of God. That's what it means. If you feel this tension, if I say, is there enough evidence for the world to convict you of being a Christian? Well, that stung me when God said that to me. And then I even wonder if I am Christian. Have I been saved? Yes, I've been saved by the blood of Christ. So I'm a saved man, but am I a Christian man? Now, in my mind, that's two different things. Maybe not in yours, but in mine there is. I can be a saved man, not a Christian man. So my quest is to be a follower of Christ. Why? Because it's the right thing to do? Well, it is the right thing to do, but because I believe that's the best thing for me to do. So as we watch it, when we have this conflict and this tension that's going to hit us, why? Because you're getting ready to have a collision. I'm just telling you, you're going to collide with this world if you have enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian. You're going to collide. So when you cannot have a collision, now remember this, unless you have some type of impact. So you've got to start understanding God's calling for the collision. I'm talking to soldiers of Christ, prophetic people of God. God's calling for this collision. Listen, the only time I had, the reason I really hated to spank my children is because I knew the truth. The truth was I had failed at my teaching if I had to spank my children. You can say you got a hard-headed child if you want to, but you probably got a hard-headed teacher too. That's right. Say amen, somebody. When you have to have a collision, it's because we failed at our teaching. That's right. Why do you have a war? Because you failed at diplomacy. Yes, that's right. You can blame it all on the devil all you want to. If we had held up our end, we would have preserved this nation even today. That's right. Is that a stunning truth to you? Have we been the salt of the earth to this nation? Have we preserved it? In times past, we have. But we're not preserving today. According to the last 3 months, I don't think we've preserved a thing. We're losing it. Now, let's watch it. So when you feel this conflict, you're supposed to. Used to be this old country song. It said, Bobby, you better hit the floorboard. I think we're going to have a wreck. Christians, you better hit the floorboard. I think we're going to have a wreck. And there's going to be a collision. When the collision happens, I'm preparing you for the collision. There's going to be an impact. And if your impact is that of a Christian, you will overcome the collision, and not only that, you will shape what the collision looks like because of your impact. And you've got to consider God's calling to collision because we have failed at our teaching. We have failed at living our Christian life. How many people's come up to you lately and said, I don't know what you're doing, but I want to be just like you? That's right. How many people said that? That's the reason I'm saying our talk, how we talk, has as much to do with our words we're saying. And as we start to understand what the will of God is, listen, folks, I want you to have prophetic dreams. I want you to know what the will of God is and have no apologies. No apologies needed because you know what the will of God is. So I'm saying to you, you've got to realize we're on a collision course. We're getting ready to have impact. And impact is that you need to know the will of God at point of impact. So here we go. Knowing there's a collision, it'll cause conflict and tension within you. You're like, you know, you're getting ready to hit. You hit another car. Oh, hang on, Bobby. We're going to have a wreck. Here we go. We can either live our lives by worldly wisdom or by the Word of God. Two choices. Worldly wisdom or the Word of God. Colossians 2:8 says this, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ." That means the ways of the world, the teachings of the world, and not after Christ. So the Apostle Paul warns us here that this is going to be here, and it is here. Beware, any man spoil you. See, spoil, it's the reason I like the King James. It says, beware, any man spoil you. We're acting like a bunch of spoiled brats. Well, I want my right. I want my right. I want my way. You offended me. We're acting like a bunch of spoiled kids. What's causing it? It's through this philosophy and it's vain deceit. It's what's before us. Can you see why you have to have a collision? If you know who you are in Christ and are a follower of Christ, it demands a collision after the traditions of men and not after Christ. Now, I want to move into, in light of that, I call this a seer's proverb. This is a proverb of one who sees and hears and knows the will of God. If you will receive this proverb and tear it apart, look in it, not just at it, you can see and hear the will of God. So here it goes. Proverbs 2, 1 through 11. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee," you see that? "Hide my commandments with thee, thou shalt incline thy ear unto" what? "Wisdom." So how are you going to get wisdom? You're going to hide his commandments. "And apply thine heart to understanding." Not only are you going to have it hidden, you're going to have wisdom and you're going to have understanding of the wisdom. "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth" what? Where do you get it? The Lord gives it. The faith that you carry right now is a measure of faith that was given to you as a gift from God. They say salvation's a free gift. It is a free gift. You know why it's free? Because it gives you the faith to believe it. That's why it's free. You can't believe it on your own. You cannot persuade somebody into the faith. God has to issue a measure of faith to believe, and I've said it before, this ridiculous story of Christ. "Understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So he's going to give it, but how's he going to give it? Out of his mouth, and then you're going to do what? You're going to hear it. You see it? Do you look in it and see it? God's going to speak it and you're going to hear it. Now, here we go. "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints." You see that? He keeps the path. He's holding it back. And he preserves his saints. "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." You see that? Wisdom and knowledge will feel pleasant to your soul. "Discretion shall preserve thee." Anybody see that? "Understanding shall" do what? "Keep thee." So, you see, God is wanting us to take him at his word, but he goes a step further. Not only is he going to give us his word, he wants us to understand why he's saying it. Because God, listen, it's hard to memorize something, but it's not hard to understand something. You see that? So when it comes to spiritual things, God loves to give understanding with his words. He likes for us to get it. That's all. He wants us to get it. So I call that the seer's proverb. If you want to write that down, there's a lot more in that proverb that'll just, it'll be good for you. Now, in understanding that, Jesus taught his disciples that redeeming the time, that's what we've been talking on, was the will of God, and they were not to be distracted. So we understand that as we're walking in this path of hearing the will of God and hearing God, that there can come distractions, right? It is so amazing how the distractions keeps us from our goals. Now, there's one thing to be distracted, and it's another thing to be a distraction. Be careful that your neediness does not distract others from their goals. So here's what he says. It's in John 9:4. I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is the day, the night is coming when no one can what? No one. Do you see that? He's going to do it when? Today. While it's day. Why? Because the time's coming, whatever you're putting off, you're going to run out of time. If the will of God is the issue and redeeming the time, the will of God's the issue, and redeeming the time is its action, you see that? How can we find it? I'm glad you asked. The will of God is the issue, and it is. And redeeming the time is its action, which it is. How can I find it? Now, here's the neat thing. Someone's 45 years old. They've not walked with God 45 years. They become born again. You hear that? Become born again. The first thing the enemy starts speaking to that convert is you're running behind. You got saved late, or you got whatever you did late. So you're running behind. That's a lie. Why? Because God redeems all that time. You say, well, how does God do that? God, if you get saved at 45, it says like you got saved at 12. I'm not saying you're 12. I'm just saying God somehow redeems all that time, and you're not behind on anything. All of a sudden, he catches you up, and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. He moves that way in redeeming that time. Somehow or another, he does time like he does his memory about your sin. He throws that amount of time away with the sin. Somebody say they got it.
Yeah, that's good.
It doesn't count against you. How can God save that, what that time produces, and forget the sin? You see, all of that's redeemed. The time, the sin, everything's redeemed. It brings everybody right back up to speed to where you can go. So here we go. John 7:17. It says, if any man will do his will, say that, will do his will. Will do his will. Now, I would love to say, I'd love for it to say, if any man will wallow in the grace of God, he shall know the doctrine. That is not what it says. You got to understand the true meaning of the grace of God. It's a net. It catches you to get up and start again. God redeems it. You got it? Don't wear it. You can't carry that net across that tightrope. It's underneath you. So that's the reason the Scripture says, if any man will do his will. I'm going to interpret that for you. To do his will means you do his will. That's what it means. You got to know his will before you can do it. And his ways are not our ways, so his will's not our way. That gives you a little clue when you're hunting for it. Whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now look at that. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine. You see that? Says he'll know the doctrine. Why? How do you know the doctrine's correct at this church? Because you know the will of God. You can't know it any other way. That's what the Bible says. If you will predetermine that you will do the will of God before He shows you His will, He will show you. Is that confusing? If you will predetermine, you got to do it up front, that you will do the will of God before He shows you what His will is, then He'll show you what His will is. But you got to give your yes before He gives you a revelation. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's just the truth. God doesn't give you His will, and then you sit back and say, well, I want to see if I want to do it or not. I've had people come to me all the time. Well, Alan, I don't know if I want to do this or not. I'm like, well, that's not what you're trying to decide. Is not the will of God. You say, Alan, how do you know that? Because I know you're not going to get it if you hadn't already said yes. Now you might be trying to pull back on your yes. You booger, you and me. But you say yes, and then God shows you, then we are obedient. God doesn't let you sit back and say, waller it around how many ways up to Sunday you can't do it. It's too late. You done said yes, God shows you what it is. And it's usually something, number one, it's going to cost you something, which is everything you got. It's not what you were planning on doing, number two, and you might even despise it. And it will always make you uncomfortable. That's right. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Alan. So here we go. When you have in your heart, now watch this. When you have in your heart the desire to do His will, He will give you the ability to know the truth of His will. See, I showed it to you in Scripture. You see that? When you have in your heart the desire to do His will, you got to have that desire to do His will. You've already said yes. He will give you the ability to know the truth of His will. In other words, the truth that you need, the revelatory truth that you need to do His will doesn't come till you say yes, and He shows you what it is, and then He issues you the ability to do it. Anybody see that?
Yeah, that's good.
See, if you try to judge it, that you don't have the ability to do it before you said the yes, no wonder. You know, you don't have the truth of the revelation to pull it off yet, somebody. Well, it's like the duh, right? It's the spiritual path. It's the path that God chooses. God just uses yes people, by the way. Y'all can figure that one out. If you do not have this in your heart, you will not know what doctrine is sound. The Scripture says it. You got to do His will, then you'll know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or not. You will know it. You won't have to wonder. You'll know it. Okay. When you are seeking God to bless your will you will have doctrinal confusion. Are you with me? God blesses it because He'll let you understand His doctrine because you know His will and you've said yes to it. If you're trying to get God to bless your will, you're going to go around confused all the time. Well, this, I think I want to do this. Well, I think I want to do that. Maybe I could. Alan, I don't know. I drive yourself nuts. Why? You're going to have doctrinal confusion when you are seeking God to bless your will. You're going to be confused. That's one way that you know that's what you're doing. When God's will does not fit our own selfish desires, then we do not understand. We're like, what's going wrong? Well, this person won't do that. My wife won't do this. My husband won't do that. Church won't do this. Church won't do that. You're totally confused. I don't understand why everybody won't do what I think we need to do. And we're confused. And we're going to leave church because ain't nobody doing my will. Now, you won't say that. That's the reason I'm saying it, I guess. Okay. John 9:31. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners. Let's move on. Okay, that's what the Bible says, doesn't hear sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God, see that one, somebody, and doeth His will, he hears Him. Now, I'm going somewhere with this one. I didn't particularly like it when God shoved it under my nose, and He did shove it under my nose. I said, well, God, that doesn't make sense to me. If any man be a worshiper of God, usually man, as men, we're either worshiping ourselves or some other god or God. So here we see this conflict, this battle between darkness and man and the kingdom of God. We see there's a collision coming. I hope you're sort of seeing part of this collision is you're going to run into yourself. Come on. Blood and guts is going to go everywhere. Come on. That's right. That's right. We must be a worshiper of God. If you want to hear God, if you truly want to hear Him, if you want God to hear you, you got to be a worshiper of God. You see that? Not only have you got to be a worshiper of God, we got to have enough evidence against us that we'd go out in public and they wouldn't have to. Is that man a Christian over there? Well, I don't know. I'd never seen him pray in public. I'd never seen him help nobody. Nah, he's not Christian. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When we're scared if the world knows we're a Christian. Yeah, we're secret, all right. We got that one down pat. And we can flat keep a secret. But do you see what I'm saying? And I say it with sadness because this is to me first, and it honestly is. Is there enough of my life that reflects the life of... Now, I'm not saying... Listen, I can argue with the best of them. I'm not saying you're the best arguer over the Word of God. I'll let you off on that one. God's Word doesn't need defending. I'll just free you up. God done been through that woodshed. God's Word doesn't need defending. All right, we must be a worshiper of God. Prayers are answered. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So here we got the will of God. We do it from where? From the heart. Where do we worship from? The heart. So all of this stuff is talking about the will of God. All this is going to take place in the heart, not the head, in the heart. It's all going to take place right here. This is a heart that wants God's will and not their own. Now here we go. You're not going to like the rest of this. You might want to leave. If the Holy Ghost is with me, you'll like Him. A heart that wants God's will and not their own. Brian and I were talking about this morning. This is a hard one. This is just so hard. Our lives will have eternal value when we live out God's will for us. Our lives will have eternal value. There's a lot of my life just going to burn up with the rest of this mess. It really is. But when we live out God's will for us, will of God concerning you. Now watch this from 1 Thessalonians. This is the will of God concerning you. And everything do what? Give thanks, for this is what? Now look at me a minute. Does that not sound ridiculous? How can me giving thanks be the will of God? No, well, it's not only giving thanks. Giving thanks in every blame thing. That just cleared us, our thinker up, didn't it? We don't have to decide what we do and what we don't. In everything. So when God goes to this extreme, here's what I'm wanting you to get. When God goes to this extreme, you got to understand this, that is hard to do. In sincerity. It's impossible to do in sincerity. So therefore, no one can enter that door unless they sincerely do it. Right? That's good. You can't fake it through this door. But trust me, giving thanks in everything, it's the will of God. It's the will of God for a reason. In Christ Jesus concerning you. You got to understand, Jesus Christ died to provide for us a door, which the only thing we have to do entering it is to give thanks in everything with all sincerity, which proves that we are really trusting God in all things. That's right. And because we have this kind of trust, we're going to understand what the will of God is. That's what it's saying. It's a gateway. It's a gateway. It's a gateway into the heavens. It's a gateway into God's heart. And the reason is it's foolproof. A faker can't get through it. You've got to be able to reach out and achieve the ability to give thanks in all things. And it is possible. But in doing this will of God stuff and prophetic stuff, it's not optional. Now, giving thanks establishes the heart to hear and receive the will of God. The will of God comes through impressions, scripture, preaching, teaching, prophetic words, dreams. Giving thanks always develops faithfulness. Now, here's what I want you to see. Giving thanks always. And I can't tell you how far I've got to go in this thing. Giving thanks always develops faithfulness. If I give you $1 million today, or if I consistently give you a penny a day, and or a, was it a penny or a dollar? I forget, one or the other. A penny, isn't it? A penny a day for 30 days. Consistently now, I have to consistently give you a penny a day for 30 days and double it each day. Would you rather have $1 million now or a penny? A penny. Now, why? It's because the consistency of that penny equals more than the $1 million today. Now, that's our spiritual revelation you got to get. The term in Scripture is called faithfulness. Faithfulness gives you compound upon compound upon compound upon compound. The reason we, but you can't break a day. You got to be faithful every day. It's a spiritual term here. It's a spiritual revelation. You got to be consistent every day. You got to be faithful every day. That's the reason God says be thankful in all things. Because once you get the all things going on, you can do it every day. If you don't get the all things going on, you're going to have a bad day one day and break your consistency, which is a spiritual phenomena. Spiritual phenomena is faithfulness. It keeps the spiritual calculator moving. Let's look at it right here. It says in Luke 16:10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also to much." That's right. If you know how to clean up your room and make your bed, you'd make a good leader. That's right. Say, Alan, what's that got to do with anything? You got to be consistent in little things, and God's going to give you much. You got to be consistent. Say, oh, I just had a bad day. You got to be consistent. You got to be faithful. Watch it, 2 Corinthians 5:7. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Faithfulness is having faith every day. You don't break the cycle. We want to use grace and we keep breaking the cycle, so we got to start our multiplication tables over. You got to be consistent. I want you to value faithfulness. It's consistency. Walking with God and reaching out with God. Now watch this. Faithful develops persistence. I don't have but a minute, but watch this. Development, do you remember this in Luke 18? It was this story. It's about a parable. It's hard to kind of make sense out of it, but here's what he's saying. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and do what? Now listen to me. How many people pray and aren't consistent? Well, I prayed for 25 years, and bless God, I can't do it no more. You're gonna break something. You can't. You got to be consistent. We're faithful because we have faith every day. Now watch it. So then watch this parable. That to them, they always pray not lose heart. Well, I can pray, but I'm having trouble with the losing heart part. Anybody else? All right, let's get over that. All right, let's just say, okay, that's sin. Forgive us, Lord. Now, saying there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor man, yet because this widow troubles me, and I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Now, that's a parable he gave about worrying the judge to death. The point being, the judge knew he was going to have to do something because she wasn't stopping. Point being, the consistency in the spiritual world. Can somebody hear me? You can't lose heart. Don't lose heart. The enemy's wanting us to lose heart. Don't lose heart, because the consistency is what equals a great outcome. If God holds back the consistency, it's because it's going to take a greater multiplication at the end to get her done. Wow. I couldn't say it again if I had to, but what I told you was the truth. God will hold.
That's good.
He'll hold and he'll hold. Don't lose heart. It's gaining. It's multiplying. It's moving. The will of God keeps coming at us continually, and it gets personal. That's the part I thought you might leave on. But it's 10:31. I got to quit. All right. Have you understood anything I've tried to bring forth this morning? Now listen, I'm telling you the truth. Church, there's a collision. We're on collision course. We're going to collide. We are colliding. The question is, what kind of impact are we going to have at the collision? I tell you right now, I believe the Church of Jesus Christ can survive this impact and be more glorious than it's ever been.
That's right.
This is one wreck that we can have that we could not be who we are going to be unless we have it. We've missed our teaching opportunity. Now we're going to have to just clash. It's going to be impact. But as soldiers of God and people of God, we're going to fight it, but it's not like you think. We're going to do it by this book.
Yeah.
So if we do it by this book, if you'll consider what I've said today, I'm going to get into next week what the will of God looks like, what you're going to have to do with it. If you don't want to hear something painful, don't be here. Do not come. Warning. My intention is to challenge you with every bit that's in you, for you to question who you are. And are you living as a Christian? I want us to understand, if we'll walk in His ways, we're going to see things that we're going to wonder, why did we wait so long? We're going to see the mighty works of God. We're going to see what's in this book. We just got a little journey to get there. If you would, stand with me. Let's worship God. Consider what's been said. Test it. Test what I've said. Receive the word of the Lord. So, Lord Jesus, we love you. Be with us as we're in this time of worship. Dear God, if there's anything that I've said it's not of you, I pray that this congregation will overlook it and forgive me, and it'll fall to the ground. But if anything that I've said that is of you, I pray that it'll penetrate our hearts, it'll turn us upside down, it'll set us on fire. It'll cause us, oh God, to seek you, and that we have no apologies when we collide with the world that's out there. No apologies, but power of the Holy Ghost. And I pray that every Christian will win every place of impact, that every Christian in this room will leave a greater impact than what they've been hit with. So I declare, oh God, that we'll win for the kingdom of God. We understand that our winning's not necessarily your winning, but we want to win for the kingdom of God in this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.